Welcome in. Today we're doing an advanced Ableton Live lesson, low mid-pressure design from scratch at 170 BPM, specifically for drum and bass bass lines. Low mid-pressure is that chesty, forward push that makes a roller feel blued and heavy, even when the sub isn't crazy loud. The trick is to build weight mainly in the 140 to 400 Hz region, while keeping the true sub, roughly 40 to 80 Hz, clean and consistent. So we're going to build a two-layer bass system. One layer is a boring, reliable sub that translates everywhere. The other layer is the pressure layer, where we generate harmonics and density on purpose, then control it so it doesn't smear the mix. After that, we'll route both into a bass group, add a pressure bus style chain for glue, then sidechain it so it stays loud without masking the kick. And finally, we'll write a proper rolling DNB pattern at 170, with call and response, gaps, and little fill moments. Before we start twisting knobs, a quick coach move. Grab a reference track, any pro roller you love. Drop it on a reference track in Ableton. Loop the drop, and throw Spectrum on your master. Watch what happens specifically around 150 to 350 Hz when the bass hits. You're not trying to beat the reference with a bigger line on the analyzer. You're looking for stable density that doesn't jump around from note to note. That stability is the sound of expensive pressure. Alright, session setup. Set the tempo to 170 BPM. Create two MIDI tracks, one called SUB, one called Pressure. Select both, group them, and name the group Bass Group. Optional, but very useful. Make a return track called Crush for parallel grit later. Now step A, build the sub. The goal is stable pitch, controlled amplitude, minimal harmonics. Boring on purpose, because if the sub is moving around, everything else becomes a fight. On the SUB track, load operator. Oscillator is a sine wave at 0 dB. Turn off oscillators B, C, and D. Set voices to 1 so it's mono. Keep glide off for now. We can add subtle glide later if needed, but only if the style calls for it. Now the amp envelope. You want it tight but not clicky. Attack around 0 to 2 milliseconds. If you hear a click, raise it slightly. Decay around 300 milliseconds, but this depends on your note lengths. If you're using short notes, sustain can be all the way down. If you're doing held notes, keep sustain at 0 dB and shape the length with note duration and release. Release around 40 to 90 milliseconds. The release matters in DNB because at 170, the space between notes is part of the groove. Too long and it smears, too short and it feels like it's choking. Now the sub control chain. First, EQ 8, high pass at about 25 to 30 Hz with a 12 dB per octave slope. This is just rumble control. You're not trying to thin the sub. You're cleaning the garbage below what any system can reproduce cleanly. With a pure sine, you probably won't need any other EQ, but if there's somehow a honk, you can do a tiny dip around 200 to 300, usually unnecessary. Next, add saturator. Drive around 1.5 to 4 dB. Turn on soft clip. Then trim the output so the level matches when you bypass it. This is a big teacher point. If you're constantly judging louder as better, you'll end up with a distorted low end that feels impressive solo, then falls apart in the mix. Match levels, then decide. Optionally, add a compressor for stability. Ratio about 2 to 1. Attack 20 to 30 milliseconds so you don't kill the initial impact. Release 80 to 120 milliseconds. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks, not more. If you're doing more than that, it's usually a sign the MIDI velocities or note lengths are inconsistent, and you should fix that first. Finally, make the sub strictly mono. Add utility. Set width to 0%. If your version has bass mono, you can set it around 120 Hz, but with a dedicated sub track. I'd rather just force it fully mono and keep life simple. Checkpoint. Put Spectrum on the SUB track and play a few notes. You want a stable read around 45 to 70 Hz depending on the key, and it should not wobble or pulse in weird ways unless you intentionally programmed it. Now step B, the pressure layer. This is where the low mid push comes from. The goal is controlled harmonics that live above the sub, that feel heavy around 150 to 350 Hz, without swallowing your kick punch or your snare body. Before you even design the tone, pick your pocket. This matters. Low mid pressure is competitive real estate. If you emphasize 150 to 220, you get chesty woofer push, but it can go boxy fast. If you emphasize 220 to 320, that's often the sweet spot for roller weight. If you emphasize 320 to 450, it becomes more audible on small speakers, but it's more likely to fight snare body. So choose one main pocket, and let the rest be supporting, not equally loud. On the pressure track, load wavable. Pick something rich but smooth. Basic shapes is a great starting point. You can start with a sawish tone, but remember we're going to filter and band limit it. Set unison to 2 voices and keep the amount subtle, like 10 to 20%. Low mids hate wide chaos. Set the synth to mono. Add glide around 30 to 60 milliseconds if you want little slurs between notes, but keep it tasteful. Too much glide can make the groove feel drunk in a bad way. Now focus the pressure with filtering. In Wavitable, enable the filter and choose a 24 dB low pass, LP24. Start the cutoff around 250 to 500 Hz. Add a bit of filter drive, maybe 2 to 6. Add a small envelope amount, 5 to 15%. Then shape the filter envelope. Attack basically instant, 0 to 5 milliseconds. Decay 150 to 250 milliseconds. Sustain low, around 0 to 20%. Release 60 to 120. This gives you a little bark at note onset, which is gold for rollers because it reads as forward movement without needing more volume. Now we band limit this layer. This is not optional. After Wavitable, add EQ8, high pass at 90 to 120 Hz with a steep slope, like 24 dB per octave. This is the rule. The pressure layer does not get to fight the sub. Then low pass somewhere around 1.5 to 4 kHz depending on the vibe. For darker rollers, keep it lower and let drums carry brightness. For more aggressive stuff, you can open it a bit. But remember today's topic is low mid pressure, not a screaming Reese. Now harmonics, controlled. Choose one distortion path first. Don't stack everything immediately. Option 1. Saturator. Drive 6 to 12 dB. Soft clip on. If you want, enable color and set it lightly around 1.5 to 3 kHz, but keep that subtle because we're not chasing top end here. Then output trim to match. Option 2. Overdrive. Set the frequency around 200 to 400 Hz, because we're literally targeting the pressure zone. Drive somewhere between 20 and 45%. Tone around 30 to 50. Dynamics 10 to 30. Then add EQ after to tame any nasty resonances. Overdrive can get edgy fast, which is great if you want bite, but you need to control it. Option 3. Pedal. Set it to overdrive or distortion. Drive 15 to 35%. Kick the sub control low since we already high-passed. Tone to taste. Pedal can sound very DNB very quickly, but it'll also happily create junk if you don't keep it band-limited. Now dynamics shaping. Add glue compressor after distortion. Attack 10 milliseconds. Release on auto, or set it around 100 milliseconds if you want consistent pumping. Ratio 4 to 1. Bring the threshold down until you're seeding about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction. Turn on soft clip and glue for a tiny bit of extra density. The point here is to make the pressure feel like it's pressing forward consistently, not flapping around with every note. Then add utility. Keep width low, like 0 to 30%. Low mid is usually strongest in mono. If you want width, we'll do it above a split point later. Set the gain so the pressure layer is balanced with the sub. A gain staging rule that will save you. Before any group processing, the sub should feel consistent and not spiky, and the pressure layer should often sound noticeably quieter than the sub when soloed. But in the mix, it appears loud because it's in the right frequency zone with controlled harmonics. If you keep pushing the pressure fader up and it still doesn't feel heavy, the problem usually isn't volume. It's that your harmonics are in the wrong band, or your dynamics are uneven. Checkpoint. Solo the pressure layer. It should sound thick and gritty, but not subby. Now play it with the sub. Together, it should feel like one bass instrument, not two separate basses arguing. Quick advance check. Phase relationship. Even with a high pass, the slope can still interact with upper bass energy. Put utility on the pressure track and try the phase invert for left and right. Choose the setting that sounds more solid with the sub. There's no moral right here. It's about alignment. Now step C. The pressure bus inside the bass group. On the group, add EQ8 first for cleanup. If it's boxy, do a tiny dip around 200 to 250, but only if needed. If it fights the snare body, which is common in DNB, try a small dip around 300 to 450. The key word is small. You're not scooping the life out of it. You're making room for the drum's identity. Next, drum bus on the bass group. Yes, on bass. Use it subtly. Drive 5 to 15%. Crunch 0 to 10. Boom 0 to 10 with the frequency around 50 to 70, but be careful because you already have a sub track. Boom can blur the foundation if you overdo it. Use damp to keep it dark. Then a limiter, just catching rogue peaks. Aim for 1 to 2 dB max reduction. This is one of those it feels more solid moves. If your limiter is doing 6 dB, you're not limiting anymore, you're flattening. Fix it upstream. Now step D, sidechain. This is how you keep the low mid loud without masking your kick. Put a compressor on the bass group, enable sidechain, and choose the kick track as input. Start with ratio 3:1. Attack 2 to 10 milliseconds. Release 60 to 120 milliseconds. Set threshold so you're getting 2 to 4 dB of reduction when the kick hits. Teacher tip: sidechain release has to be musical. At 170 BPM, a release that's too long makes the whole drop feel like it's ducking and never recovering. Too short can make it clicky or overly bouncy. Loop one bar and adjust release until the bass returns right after the kick in a way that feels like forward motion, not like the bass is tripping. Advanced move: duck pressure more than sub. That means either separate sidechains on sub and pressure, or a two-stage system. For example, a fast duck on pressure with a quick release to clear the kick transient, then a slower, gentler duck on the whole bass group to make the groove breathe. This often makes the bass feel louder, because the kick gets clean space. Another advanced move if your snare is clashing: frequency-dependent ducking. If your snare has body around 200 to 250, don't just permanently cut that range out of your bass. Use multiband dynamics or a dynamic EQ-style approach to only reduce, say, 200 to 350 when the snare hits. That way your pressure stays present between hits, but the snare still lands. Now step E, write a rolling 170 BPM bass pattern. Let's pick a key example, F minor, but use whatever your track is in. Make an 8-bar loop and start with a 2-bar motif. In rollers, the ear locks onto a 2-bar identity. Keep that identity consistent, then do controlled variation. Use a mix of 8th notes and 16th notes. And this is huge: leave tiny gaps. Silence creates perceived punch. Gaps also let your compressors and saturators recover, which makes the next hit feel heavier. For the pattern concept, think root note on beat 1, then offbeat hits and syncopation. Then on bar 2, do a variation, like a quick 16th pickup before beat 3. Copy your sub MIDI to pressure to start, then edit the pressure rhythm slightly, so it has push-pull against the sub. The sub stays locked, the pressure can dance a little. Try a classic arrangement trick: every 4 bars, do a 1-beat bass mute or a pitch drop for tension. This audio version is shortened for playback.